Well, I was the principal timpanist of the London Symphony Orchestra, and then once it was called upon to record the soundtrack to Star Wars, the first one of which was in 1977. at that time, rumor had it that it was actually quite an experimental kind of thing, and neither Spielberg or Lucas or John Williams himself and so on knew exactly what is going to come of this. And it was called, in Hollywood terms, a low-budget experimental thing. Little could anyone have predicted just how that is eventually going to take off, and the way we know it did. And we were in those days in Denham Studios, and we started to there was, in those days, the old-fashioned film studio still had a huge screen where the thing would be shown. The orchestra had its back to it, with the exception of timpani and percussion, who were positioned behind the conductor, so that we actually had full view of the actual movie track, minus speech. So you actually could see, when you had something to play, how it actually related visually to the thing. To work with John Williams is, John is a complete perfectionist. He's a fantastic musician, and no one would dispute that he's one of the most successful and the most admired film score writer of all time. He was a very pleasant person, very nice person. Nonetheless, that iron fist was inside the velvet glove, if you see what I mean. The velvet glove was very nice. There is that iron fist inside, make no mistake. And because we're talking about, you know, if a certain soundtrack, he knows the complexity. They will have decided which musicians to use. Would it be freelance players? Would it be a symphony orchestra? Which symphony orchestra? And so on. Because they knew, and he knew more than anyone who wrote the thing, knew just how difficult and complex it is, and how, therefore, quickly can this group or other record this. Because we're talking, like everything else, the bottom line is never not money. And they have a certain budget, and inside of which the complete soundtrack for that movie has to be perfectly in the can, as they say. So there was no question of endless rehearsals and let's do this later, we do something more easily first. Forget it. So you got this in front of you, you read it through. You may read it one more time, because he has now found that he needs to make one or two dynamic adjustments, timing, something. Hardly anything ever to do with one of the musicians not quite getting the right notes. That's a total no-no. And then you would do the first take of this, and into the playback room, into the recording room, and listen to yourself and see, and listen to the remarks that they are making. The strings are a bit of this, timpani is a bit too much or too little or too late or too soon, and so on. And when you're in there as well, there is obviously a limit of space, how many, you can't accommodate a whole 90-piece orchestra in there. But certainly some of the principal players, like the principal trumpet, principal timpani, percussion, and so on, would be advised to go and listen and see what's what, and how they themselves can judge what they hear now that it's on tape, and how they might adjust it and improve it for the next one. By the time that you get to this 5-minute thing here, three little cues, as they used to be called, will be perfectly done by the interval. By 11:30, they're down and dusted. That's how little time you have. So there is absolutely no safety margin. You are actually on the trapeze with no net all the time. And that in itself made it so very exciting. Obviously you're being challenged, But to rise to the challenge is where the excitement is. And when you hear and see relevant, you know, important instrumental people around you, first trumpet, first horn, percussion guys behind and all of that, and you hear everyone rising to the challenge and delivering absolutely stunning results, then obviously it has an effect on you too. And you too will absolutely want the ground to open and swallow you if you made a mistake, or you came too soon, or you screwed something up. Unlike, for example, a recording for a CD, you can do a retake. You can do those two bars and insert them, and it's fine. And that's clearly what happens in CD recording. But you cannot do that to a film. You know, you either do the whole thing, you can't insert things. That's technically not really possible. The amazing thing about someone like John, if you ever saw a film score, then you see one bar after another, and at the top of the bar line are digits. And that is the measured, in terms of time, the measured length of that bar. And the next one might be X point something or other of seconds longer or shorter. Yet when he conducts the thing, you never notice that. But he has a clock. He's also got a clock in his brain. And he is absolute, because it has to obviously coordinate with the movie. And it has to be absolutely together and exactly right. A certain effect can't occur a split second before you can actually see it. So that kind of expertise, there is, I can't imagine how much experience you must need to gather in order to ever be able to do that. They have a clock running in front of them as well, so that one eye on the clock, one eye in the score, and conducting a 9,500 piece orchestra. It's a huge challenge. And when you listen to the scores that he wrote to the whole of the Star Wars series, when you hear that kind of complexity written in and deliver that to those standards in that limited amount of time, then you're talking about the best. Absolutely the best. And never to be forgotten, because you never really, in the whole of 36 or more years of being the principal timpanist of an orchestra like the LSO, I don't believe I can easily pinpoint any other situation or occasion where that kind of absolutely 101% total perfection and commitment to it is actually required for sometimes 6 or 9 hours a day. They have a certain time limit in which this has to be done, and then they're off back home to Hollywood with the goodies in the bag. And inside that time span, it has to happen. If the orchestra happens to have a concert with two rehearsals in the middle of all of that, you end up having 3 sessions in one day, 10 to 1, 2 to 5, 6 to 9. At 8:45 that evening, you are still at that level of concentration and focus and perfection as you were at 10:15 in the morning. To sustain that on the part of not one or two people, maybe quite well able to do that, can you actually determine also that 95 to 100 people in depth can do that? There's no question of someone in the middle of a section, let's say, of 18 or 16 people, one of the 16 may be less focused and concentrated than the other 15. That's not ever an option in that situation. But that's quite phenomenal when you actually sit down and work it out and think about it.